Gang, the coronavirus has proven that it's going to be here for a while. The nasal swab tests are hard to get and very expensive. Well, our friends at ProResults are doing rapid COVID-19 antibody testing to let you know if you have had the virus. They take cash or credit, no insurance needed, no doctor appointment required, and you get your results in 15 minutes. Tell them you heard about them on How Did I Get Here and receive 15% off of your tests. Just go to ProResultsAustin.com or call them at 512-374-9977. That's ProResults. Go get yourself tested. Let's get down.
Did I get here? And now here is your host, Tom Howdy.
All right. Hey, gang. This is Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys all had a good 4th of July weekend, whatever that means. If you listen to the show for a while, you know I have a dog that I'm very, very close to, or had a dog that I'm very, very close to named Taylor, and he's not been doing well over the last couple of years. He's been declining, and Thursday, his mom and I had to put him down, and I mean, in August, it would have been 14 years that we had him, you know? This little guy was the center of our schedules, of our lives, of our happiness. No one ever really complained once he started doing badly, and you know, he had to be taken care of, but he got to a point where he just couldn't go on. And I can't tell you guys how much I miss him and how much I'm gonna miss him. Like, I don't have children. Then when we got him in 2006, and he was just a little guy, he had a broken leg, and you know, we got so close to him, and he became, you know, our dog. He became a dog that, you know, his personality was part of our whole dynamic, you know. We got Dylan, and we had both of them for 10 years together, and that was beautiful. And the last couple years have been hard, you know, watching Taylor not be able to do all the great things he loved to do. He was such an adventurous and energetic dog, and so beautiful and so interested. And as he was getting older, he was having a harder time being him, you know. But I don't know if any of you have been through this, where you have an animal that you're so attached to and you have it for so long. It's almost like your child. It's a pain that's actually physical, you know, like when I've lost family members that I'm close to and stuff, it's ripped up. I don't, you know, I'm never going to see him again. And it's hard right now going through this sadness, you know. He was there when the police came to tell me in 2009, the guy that had murdered my mother. I was holding him. He was sitting there with me and his head on my lap, and I was petting him and I was crying, and he was there for me. And his mom lost her brother in 2012. He was there for her when she was sad, you know. He was part of us, and you know, his spirit and his soul were so strong and powerful, and they filled the room. People loved him. Other dogs loved him. He was a great, great dog. Anyway, look, man, I could talk forever about him. And I feel terrible that today's guest has to deal with this sadness at the intro of his podcast. Look, man, I love Taylor. I changed the intro. If you heard it, obviously it's changed. That's Taylor barking. So from now on, at the beginning of the show, we'll all get to hear his voice. Okay? I love you, Taylor. All right. I took a minute and I got it together. I have a great show for you guys today. R&B artist Drint is on the show. He is an amazing, amazing artist. Great singer, great performer, great songwriter, and just a wonderful human being all around. We have a fantastic conversation about his brand new EP that's available now, his debut EP. It's called Don't Save Me. You can find him on Spotify or wherever it is you stream and download your jams. But we also, we have a fantastic conversation about where he came from. And the last 10 years of his life have been both sad and triumphant, overcoming things like homelessness, heartache, coming out, loneliness. He was a religious guy and growing up in a church, and dealing with coming out and who he was as a person was a very, very, very big thing in his life. And he's out there and he's making music and he's telling his story. And we had a great, great conversation. I hope you enjoy our conversation. I'm sorry. I'm just sad. I'm sad. I'm profoundly sad. Okay. I was not sad like this when I talked to Drint. So please enjoy my conversation with my new friend, the amazingly talented and incredibly cool Drint. Let's get down.
Hey, 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 alright. You dedicate your heart and time to deal with this heart of mine, and I'm so glad God gave me you. I'd be quick to start a fire, quick to start.
Dude, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. All things considered with the world, I'm doing all right, man. I think it's just kind of this time, just quarantine and all the things happening in the world, allowing me to reflect and allowing me to just like kind of think about my own life and think about my artistry and think about it all, you know? So it hasn't been too bad, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
On me, you know, it's just kind of just a reassessment of everything, you know?
Yeah. Have mm-hmm. you, how do you feel about the protests? Like these things need to change, or these things?
I think I had a moment where I was, when everything was first starting happening, I was very, very just like angry, you know?
I feel like that's happened. Yeah.
Yeah. And I went, that was kind of my initial stage of, you know, dealing with it, was just anger, you know? And I kind of had to take a different approach, because I was like, how do I be proactive with this anger? You know, there's a lot of people angry, and there's a lot of people in the streets, and there's a lot of people, taken to the streets, which is like so cool. And, you know, and if you see my generation do that, you know what I mean? Has been really, really cool.
How old are you?
I'm 24. I'll be 25 in December. Yeah. Yeah, I was just to see my generation do that was really, really cool. So now I, like I said, I'm thinking just how to channel that anger into proactiveness. You know what I mean? Learning about my city and learning about my district and learning about the people in charge, you know what I mean? Has been very good for me during this time to just like learn that I like my voice, I can have a little part in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I do, but like I said, I'm just really proud of like people my age right now, you know, just like being able to like take a stand no matter what color you are, you know what I mean? Just standing side by side, us all getting together.
And agreeing really that dope. Something's wrong with the system.
Right.
Yeah.
And taking a
stand. Do something about it. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. You know, it's been really, really cool to see that.
Yeah. Yeah. So what about on this level? You put out this your debut EP, and so I'm sure there was a lot of stuff you had planned, because it looks like it came out at the end of February.
It did. It came out February 26th, and that was like right before South by was about to happen, and like it kind of the Rona like really messed it up. I was, you know, had some stuff planned for South By, to play some shows, and kind of just on the promotion level,
yeah,
just be in a position where I can just, like, you know, get it heard by people, and, you know, keep it in people's ears and get it heard, you know what I mean? Which I think it's like, it's still kind of happening, you know, at a slower pace.
Yeah.
But it really did slow down that process of just, like, I was really, really blessed to put the EP out when I did. But it definitely derailed, some things a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And kind of just like, it was like a whoosh of like, okay, Drent, now you have to reassess what you want out of this project, and like what your approach is, you know what I mean? Which is, goes back to that reassessment, you know?
Yeah. Well, the EP is great, man. It
Thank
is
you.
Really great. How did you play everything? But what happened?
No.
How did that happen?
So what's really, really interesting about the EP is that a lot of those songs have been in my canon for like the last 2 or 3 years. I put an ad out on Craigslist right when I moved here, August of 2017. And I met an initial producer named Marshall Moon. And he kind of really spearheaded the initial production and the initial music of it all. Mm-hmm. And taught me how to, you know, be an artist, and, you know, and it kind of put me in contact with people. I don't know if you know Alejandro Rios.
I know that name.
Yeah, he plays with Sam Houston. He plays The Matters. Yeah, yeah. A lot of the guitar parts that you hear on the record are him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's some drums. Charles Godfrey over at the Mosaic Studios. Mm-hmm. He mixed everything. As far as songwriting, it was me. Marshall did a couple, just helped me out writing. Alejandro, my friend Casey Leung. There's only one song on the project, Love Me Crazy, which produced by Danny Salvador.
Okay.
He's like, another great producer here. And it, when I look at the record, it was such a, like, it's a reflection of me, obviously, but like, it's such a
team effort.
Right. And like, none of that could have been done by just me. You know what I mean? So it took a camp to really make that happen, you know, and those were the key players in it.
What about the lyrics?
Lyrically,
is that you?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
The songs like, First Choice, Change, that was pretty much all me. Change, it kind of was definitely all me, and kind of telling the story of, like, falling in love and like love sick, like moody R&B, and kind of telling that trajectory. Don't Save Me happened. What's cool about it, it was Marshall likes to say it was a cloudy day outside, but it really wasn't. He said he was outside playing like the guitar, the chords on it. And I just had this kind of phrase, don't save me, in my head.
Yeah.
And kind of just trying to like develop and see what that meant for me.
Right.
And I rewrote that hook, and we put the chords to it, and then he like did a little production behind it, and then I wrote the hook to it, and then I went to the park and kind of fleshed out the story and just figured out what I wanted to say, you know.
I made some notes about the lyrics of that song.
Really?
Yeah.
Which ones did you have?
To me, you went to the park and you beat yourself up for a little while.
I did. I did, because
all boys.
You know what's crazy? I think I wrote it from just this perspective of like how I felt in the moment, you know, and how I was like, and what's crazy, because I look at it now and like a lot of people think that it's relationship focused, but it's not centrally like relationship focused to me. It's like, it's a rebellion kind of tune for me to just be like, I'm like not Like, I don't need protecting, you know what I mean?
Right.
I don't need like judgment or like things like that on me. And it kind of came out as more relationship focused, but it was me just trying to tell the world that, you know.
I think it's relationship focused, but it's not the kind of relationship you think. It's like your relationship to yourself.
Yes.
And your own idea of your worth, and it wasn't very high. I wanted to give you a hug at the end of that song. I'm serious.
It's a very sad record.
It is sad.
I listen to it now and I'm like, man, and like I said, it was 2 years ago. And I think now that my friend had asked me, like, how do you think you had grown from lyrically that song? And how do you think that it's different? And I was telling him, I was like, I think when I was writing that record, it was like, it's just a fear of intimacy, you know,
yes,
like
you claim it to be your fault that you have this fear of intimacy. That's exactly what I wrote down was pretty revealing about your intimacy issues.
Mm-hmm. It is because it's like, I look at it now and it's like, I say I didn't want this in this record, you know what I mean? And at the time I did it, but like looking at it now, it's like, it's like, I want that intimacy. It's just, I want it on my terms.
Yeah.
You know, and I want it when and when I want it, you know what I mean? So it's like,
I feel that same way. I'm having this whole situation right now personally in a relationship that I think is on its way out. But I what happened was I thought you were telling me stuff about me, and I'm like, yeah, I know, man.
No,
I know.
It was me, man. It was me, and kind of just like that's what my psyche was at that time.
Well, your song connected with me.
Thank you. That's my favorite one to perform, man. Every time I'm on a stage, it's always very stripped back, and I love when I have the crowd sing to me. It's always a really good moment during the set. So it's always been really good.
When you play live, how do you do that? What's the setup?
So yeah, before the Rona, it was.
Sorry, I don't mean to laugh. It's just kind of, I'm at that point now where I'm just kind of going crazy, and every piece of bad news just makes me laugh. So.
I get you totally. I'm there too. It was usually Marshall on keys, and then Alejandro on guitar, me on vocals. It's kind of transitioning a little bit now.
You had the other stuff on tracks.
Yeah, okay. it was tracked out, except songs like "Don't Save Me," where it's pretty much guitar led, and it's such a moment.
Yeah.
By itself that the track doesn't really need to be there.
Mm-hmm.
That was the initial setup and the first batch of shows, and now it's kind of just transitioning to me and Alejandro. Because I'm trying to just rework it and see what it looks like with just me and the guitar, you know.
Yeah. How long have you been playing? You've been playing guitar a long time.
I don't play.
Oh, okay, just you with Alejandro.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the move right now. It works out.
You don't play any instruments.
What's been really cool about quarantine is I'm sitting down and learning to play piano.
Awesome.
And it's been really, really cool. I got a little book, and that was kind of my first soiree into it. And then I got a little board playing like Deck the Halls and like the piano basics.
Yeah.
You know, so I've been learning like a few pop songs and stuff that I love, and it's been keeping me active.
So you're you're viewed as an urban pop artist. Is that right?
I mean,
it's in your
initially.
Thing. Okay.
Initially, okay. when I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do and what I wanted to say, urban pop was a word. I think I'm trying to like not use the word urban pop because I think that
Well, you know what's funny is when I was listening to it after I read that, because I'd listened to the stuff before. I I felt the city.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And when I after I heard Urban, I was like, well, maybe it doesn't necessarily pertain to black music as much as like sort of a slickness of the city.
Mm.
Like you like that record isn't a record you imagine some guy hanging out in Wimberley. You imagine him like in the city at night.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That makes sense.
Just walking around beating himself up. I'm just joking.
I get you, man. That's it. And I think that's kind of why I just shied away from that word, because I think it was just like a pigeonholed. And yeah. I was like, I'm much more than that.
How do you categorize it?
I think at the core of what I do is R&B.
Okay.
Always. That's just the music that I love. I think I can branch it out a little bit and say quote unquote pop, just because of that, like, you know, structurally songs, how they do, with some soul elements. But that's what's so interesting about my record. Sometimes I listen to it and I'm like, it's very hard to, like, with these five songs, it's very, very hard to pin down. Like I said, I think R&B is at the core.
Yeah.
But
it is pop.
Yeah.
There's a dark pop.
Yeah. Like moody R&B pop. And I think that's what at the core, but just like trying to nail it down. I don't know.
Yeah.
Cause I hear different things from different people too. When people tell me.
What did you grow up listening to?
Wow. I grew up, my mom was a big music lady. Still is a big music lady. But a lot of R&B, a lot of 90s R&B, a lot of Mary J. Blige, a lot of Anita Baker, Toni Braxton, I grew up on a lot of female singers, female R&B singers. Whitney Houston was a big one, Aretha, Chaka Khan.
Yeah.
Man, and it kind of got more contemporary, like Mariah.
Yeah.
And then Destiny's Child, and kind of those are my earliest memories of listening to music. You know, like, I know a lot of people like go back but those are my earliest memories of like, I love this, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you started getting into music on your own, what was the stuff you were going for?
I was inspired a lot by SZA. Her album Control was very, very big. And for me, just inspiring songs like Don't Save Me, just her vulnerability, you know, like to like lay it all out there, was just so refreshing. And like, she said what she meant, you know what I mean? Like, and like, she didn't hide behind all these metaphors and like things, like she was like, this is how I feel. This is what I want to say. That album was big. The Weeknd, I'm a big Weeknd fan. I'm a big Frank Ocean fan. I'm a big Beyonce fan. So I think it's just like trying to emulate your heroes, or I think someone said like trying to get as close to your heroes as possible.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is what it is.
So you said you moved here 3 years ago?
Yes, sir.
Where'd you move from?
I moved. So I'm originally from Alabama, Birmingham, Alabama. Moved to Houston when I was 11. I moved back to Alabama for a little bit, and then I moved here from Alabama. So it was kind of a trail, but Alabama.
Yeah,
I'll say that.
What was the why'd you move? Yeah,
I think it's just, I don't know if you've ever been to Alabama, but
I understand. Yeah.
It's just like, I don't know, man. I think that like, sometimes I think it just wasn't the place where I needed to be at the time. You know, I think you like go through a lot, and you around your family, and it just becomes very comfortable. And it becomes like very, like, you know, it's just a place where you feel like you have to be. And just me being like young and Sagittarius and like really wanting to make this thing work and really make this music thing work, I was like, man, like I gotta like hop out of my comfort zone a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
and just see what I can do. And one of my friends from Houston had recently moved to Austin, and she was, at the time I was like writing a lot of Tumblr posts and stuff, and she had read one of those and she was like, I feel like you should move to Austin. It'll be a great, you know, I can see you thriving there. Her name is Eileen. Still one of my really good friends, and it worked out, you know, looking back on it.
Yeah. So yeah. In one of your posts while I was creeping on your Facebook page, sorry, you said that the last 10 years have been loaded with ups and downs. So since you were 14, that means that means that since you were 14.
Yeah.
Can you talk about those things?
Yeah. I can.
Like, let's go back to when you were 14. Where were you? In Alabama? 14.
I was in Houston.
Okay, in Houston.
I was graduating. I was freshman in high school, 10 years ago.
Okay.
And it was, you know, I think up until that point, it was, you know, just trying to figure out who you are and figure out who you, you know, want to be. And it was, you know, it was, high school was interesting for me because I was a singer, but like also going through stuff at home, and like dealing with homelessness and dealing with like not being with my family and dealing with like my family not always having the means to, you know, take care of us, you know what I mean? And having to like, you know, really like, I know like the last 2 years of high school were just like not, were very, very hard on us financially. And it got me in this mode of like putting on a facade and feeling like I was like having to like perform every day for others. And while at home, like we were like sleeping in hotels and like sleeping in our car and like not, you know, like it just wasn't, 18 wasn't conducive for, you know, what I needed to be happening. You know, I was also like also gay. So like dealing with like queerness and trying to come to terms with that and come to terms with who I am. And it was just, it was a lot, you know, I mean, I think no more or less than, I mean, I think other people would go through, but it was just a lot, you know, for me at the time and just trying to figure out who I am. Yeah. So that, I don't know if that, it was not too deep, but it was a tough time, you know? And I think I look back on it and I'm very, very blessed to come out of that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You are very blessed.
Was that deep enough?
Yeah, that was good.
I don't know
if
I went deep enough.
No, you're cool. Good, man. Two questions. One of them, when did you know you were gay? And when, what, like, was that not accepted in your family? And was that,
I think I see a lot of people and I hear a lot of people and they're like, they always know. And they always like, they always know. And I think, and it's something that I always known too, you know, and growing up, it was different. You know what I mean? And I think I like felt those feelings differently. And and growing up in a Christian household, that, like not realizing like this was wrong and like not really seeing like positive examples of, you know, what a gay person was at the time, or if I did see one, like them being like bashed or whatnot, you know? And so that those feelings, you know, really suppressed that. So from like when I was young till I came out when I was 19, I'm 24 now. And it kind of just, I was in college at that time. And I just had a talk with my roommate. And I was like, man, like this is college, you know, I should be like feeling like, you know, I should be dating anybody. And like, I don't feel like that. And he told me straight up, he was like, it's because you're gay. And I was like, yeah, it was something that at that point I was just like ready to face and yeah. confront.
Yeah.
And really like, and like, yeah, like I am, and my life can be what I make it to be. You know, I'm not a monolith. I'm not a monolith of like a gay man. I'm not a monolith of like anything. Like I can make my life what I want to make it, you know, and make it as positive as I want to make it. I knew pretty early. I fully accepted it when I was 19, though. That was the big turning point for me.
Where were you going to school?
I was going to school. It's Warden, Texas, Warden County Junior College. It's in Warden, Texas. What's really cool about it is like they allowed us to live on campus. Uh-huh. And so I got the college experience, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, so yeah.
That was pretty dope.
What were you going to school for?
I was going to school for vocal performance.
Okay.
I was a music major. And that was really, really cool because I learned about music theory and like sight reading.
Does
and,
that stuff
like,
help you when you're learning piano?
You know what? I feel like it does because what was also really great about that time was I was taking piano. And that every day having to like show up at the piano and really do it. And now that I'm like back on it, it's like, man, like I kind of remember a lot of it from then, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I think big thing is just like showing up to the piano, you know, and just like not feeling like you have to be Beethoven tomorrow. Just like, or like
right.
Anybody, you know, just like show up every day, yeah, you know, and see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey man, thanks for being open and talking to me about
Thank
that
you.
Part of your life. Because have you ever heard of this band Cub Sport from Australia?
I have not. No,
They were supposed to be here playing at Stubbs in May, mm-hmm. But I just talked to their singer, this guy Tim Nelson, and he had a similar story in that sort of religion part of it and the Christianity part of it is you grow up. Mm-hmm. And it becomes this, not just like coming out and figuring out who you are, but you also have to reckon with the damning that you've done to yourself. You know what I mean? Through this weird thing. So I appreciate that.
Thank you.
That's tough.
It's a process. You know, I think it's a grieving thing for everybody involved, you know, from like your parents grieving, like who they like thought you were going to be and all of that. And to yourself, like, it's tough, you know, but I think that like it's just finding that within you to just make it positive, you know.
Yeah,
is a good thing. And also like for me, it's just been like realizing that like I can still keep my faith, you know what I mean? Like I can still like have that relationship with God and like on my own terms.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Has been very soothing for me.
I appreciate that, man.
Thank you.
So when did you want to be the guy singing on the stage? Like how did you remember that moment?
Not like specifically, no. But I do, I've always been obsessed, I think, just with pop stars, you know what I mean? I think I've always had this like weird obsession with pop stars. Like I love Michael Jackson, I love Prince. And these people like really like it was just always a fascination with them.
Yeah.
And I loved just like watching people like that like be on a stage. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like really like hone a craft. Like my favorite artists are like either great performers or great lyricists. You know what I mean? Like people that inspire me on the stage, like can control a crowd and can like, can make everybody like, this is the moment that you're in right now, you know, and no other moment matters.
Yeah.
Those are the people that I've always been intrigued by. And I think just watching that when I was a kid and watching, you know, that really inspired that, you know, and I was like, maybe I can do that, you know, maybe I can like make that happen, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, that was it. Just kind of like, I'm a watcher, you know, I just watch people, and I watch my heroes do what they do, you know?
Yeah. Well, maybe not. When did you know? Then the question should be, when did you act on it? When did you go like, all right, I'm doing something about this?
my mom, when I was 11 years old, she had me write. I told her I wanted to be a singer. Up until that point, I was 11, but I was like, still like, even at 11, you don't know what you want to do. But she was like, if you really want to like do this, it was a summer. She was like, write a song a day for that whole summer.
Wow.
And it was, and like, I couldn't play any instruments or whatnot. So it was, at the time, it was just melodies and lyrics. And that summer really, not a lot came from it, just like song wise, that I can like remember. But it got me in that mindset of just like, okay, like this feels like something that artists do, you know, or people that like want to like make music do. So that was a kind of moment where I was like, okay, this is cool. Like, I like it. I mean, I kind of took that to middle school and high school. And what's so great about music is just like, it's been out of everything and out of like all the ups and downs, it's been the one thing in every season of my life where like, it's still there, you know what I mean? And I'm like, oh God, it's just like, I'm very grateful for that. You know, every season of my life, it's like through everything, music was there. And yeah, that was a story that kind of like really jump-started it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
for me. And then I did like YouTube, and I started doing YouTube videos and choir in high school, and had a band in college. And no, those YouTube videos were kind of, I was like known around school for being the YouTube video guy, and that was really cool. Yeah. You know? So yeah. it just followed me, you know?
Yeah. Are you a D'Angelo guy?
I love D'Angelo. You know what's crazy? I just got into D'Angelo maybe a year ago, where I got into Brown Sugar, the album Brown Sugar, which I love. Have it on vinyl. And yeah, I love D'Angelo. I love everything about him nowadays.
Yeah.
I really have appreciation for him, just like him as a black artist and him as like, but still like a sexual being. It's so fascinating to me.
He was, I don't know if, I mean, you're, I'm 51, but
sick.
I used to be married. Yeah, that's sick. I used to be married a long time ago. And I remember when, do you ever see the video where he's just naked and he's just singing? Yeah.
That's Untitled.
Untitled. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. I remember that was just like my wife's jam, like around the house. And anytime that video was on, it was almost like she came this close to asking me to leave the room every time. Like, hey man, I just need to be alone with D'Angelo. I mean, that guy exudes sexuality.
Did you
like,
know,
it's intimidating to me.
Did you know that after that like video and that moment for him, it was very, very hard. I was reading that he was saying that it was very, very hard for him to like shake that. And like every time he was on stage, like everyone was like, take off your shirt. You know what I mean? And like be this sexual person.
When you saw him, I mean, he had every right to be naked in that video. Like
he did. He did.
There was no.
He did. He did. But I think as an artist, I think it was very like debilitating for him.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I think he took like a long break even after that.
He did. Yeah.
You know? He said it was like very, very hard on him.
Yeah.
But I thought it was so interesting.
Yeah.
You know, it was a great video.
Have you ever heard of this dude, Roachford?
Roachford.
He's not very famous.
Yeah, no.
He had like a deal in like the early, early 90s, but he was like this, he was this black British R&B dude. He was real cool. Did you ever hear Maxwell?
Yes.
Yeah.
Love Maxwell.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a fan of Maxwell, man. That guy's really cool.
Maxwell, D'Angelo, who else do I love? Music Soul Child. There's a lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot of R&B people out there, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Those are the guys I know. I have a really good friend. You guys should meet my friend Corey. He's a huge R&B fan, and he's just looking for people to collaborate with all the time, and he's a phenomenal musician. He's a music teacher and stuff, yeah. So, okay, here's another just off-the-wall question, okay?
Okay.
What's your favorite Michael Jackson album? Whole album.
Favorite Michael album. Okay. I have Thriller on vinyl.
Okay.
And that's the one I probably listen to the most.
Okay.
But I, the, I think it's one of his last one, Dangerous.
Oh, really?
Because it has so many good records on it. I don't know if it's In the Closet was on that one. Remember the Time, which is like
that's
one of
a
my
great
favorite
song. Yeah.
Michael songs of all time is on that one. And he was like, I think Danger is on Black and White is on that one. I think Michael was like really like in his like honesty bag on that album, you know?
Yeah.
Do you remember that one album?
I do. It was early 90s. It was Black and White,
mm-hmm.
and Remember the Time. You know that song Scream that he did with Janet?
Mm-hmm.
I love that
mm-hmm.
song, but that was after mm-hmm. that.
Yeah, it was a little bit after that. But it was I think Thriller is the one that I listen to the most.
Okay,
but Dangerous is
your favorite.
Yeah, just because I think I love underrated things.
Yeah,
but also I feel like he was his most honest on that album.
Yeah,
you know,
mine is Off the Wall.
Really?
Yep.
Why is that?
I don't know. It has so much vibe, and also I was like 11 when that album came out, and it was like my favorite album at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love like Thriller too, but
early Mike. That's early Mike.
Yeah, that's his first solo record.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you not like him after that?
No. I like I like a lot of Thriller. I'm not a fan of the song Thriller. I think it's hokey.
I get you.
Nighttime falls across the land.
It's like, very campy. It's very, very campy when I listen to it. You know, my favorite Michael song, though, is on Thriller, Wanna Be Starting Something.
Yeah.
If you like the instrumentation, just like the break in between it, it's insane.
I think that and PYT are my favorite songs on Thriller.
Sick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And of course, Looking Out. Up on the nighttime. Yeah.
Human Nature.
Yeah, Human Nature. You're I like your voice, man. It's rich and full.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. You got with those guys and you started making music. You released some singles over the last couple years, right?
Like I released my first single in 2019. Yeah, okay. January 2019.
And so you've been playing some shows. And mm-hmm. where do you play?
It kind of depends. Last year, I was all over the place. My very first show was August of 2018, and that was at Cheer Ups.
Okay.
And then I did Free Week January of 2019, and that was crazy. That was my second show, and I played the Empire Garage.
Oh, yeah.
I was
opening
for...
You played the garage.
Shit, yeah.
Right on.
It was insane. I was opening for Tamika Jones was on that show. Uh-huh. Shy Beast and Como Las Movies was on that show as well.
Yeah.
And I was just honored to be on that stage. I played a lot at Empire last year. I did Summer Jam at Barracuda. What else did I do? Man, I did a couple of So Fars. And then I did Stubbs back in December. It's kind of all over the place. And what's been really like humbling is like these are like great like places,
great venues. Yeah, man. What I was going to ask you is like, I mean, all of those shows sound awesome, and all the bands that you named I love. And but I don't see a lot of R&B.
There's not a lot,
especially at the level that you're doing it, where there's. You know, it is super produced. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like Tamika's thing is a little more raw R&B. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. a guitar, drums, and bass. But you have a lot more sort of production and whatever kind of like priciness is difficult.
Priciness?
It sounds expensive. It doesn't sound like a punk rock record. It sounds like a, you know.
Wow. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean... There's fidelity, you know, it's high fidelity, you know, this is kind of like the record that
mm-hmm.
you wouldn't just be wearing like a pair of shorts and a t-shirt on the cover. You would look nice on it, you know?
Definitely.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. This is like a little more, It's a little more upscale. And the thing that I have a hard time finding, and I don't know if you've found it since you've been here, is I don't see an actual R&B scene in all of the places that you named.
I get you.
And nothing against the people. I'm just saying, like, I just don't see the scene. That's been a tough thing that I've been trying to figure out a lot for the last 3 weeks.
Yeah. I get you. You have to dig, you know. I think it's here, you know. I think it's, you just have to dig, you know what I mean? It is, there's a lot of people, not a lot. I'm just trying to use my words carefully. There's people coming up that just, I've been very, very blessed to be able to get some really good opportunities, you know what I mean? And get some really good exposure as far as like the shows and just radio play. And I do understand that like not everybody has got that, you know, has gotten that exposure, you know, and gotten that attention. But that doesn't necessarily mean that the talent isn't there, you know. It's just a deep dive. And I think sometimes it's just Austin like not being able to like, kind of like you, they just don't know that it's there, you know, right? What I mean?
Yeah.
But a lot of the artist community, you know, and the people that like, you know, like in the, and well, the, my peers, you know, they're there.
That's how I heard of you.
Yeah.
Was through Jenny and Anar.
Yeah.
And then I was talking to my friend Scott Collins, who introduced us.
Yeah.
And I was like, do you know any R&B guys in town? And then he was like, listed you, and I was like, wait a minute, we've been talking about this guy, I heard his music, it's cool, can you introduce me? And that's how he introduced us. But that's kind of what I have to do to find, and maybe it's because I'm 51 and because I've been playing places like the Continental Club since I was like 16, and
which is a great place.
It's a great place, but you know, nothing against the place, I'm just saying like I haven't been in R&B rooms so much. I didn't mean that disparagingly at all towards it. I love the Continental Club and all of the places, or I wouldn't go there all the time.
I know. I think it's just like, I think it's everybody having their moment. You know what I mean? I think that there's some here. You know, the scene is there. I think it's just not necessarily Austin is not always behind them. You know.
Right. Let me ask you this. Do you find that like Bills, like with you and Shy Beast, because that's, Shy Beast is a pop band.
Yeah.
And like Tamika and other people, these are the kind of Bills that they work.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I would like to see more, not even, of course I'd like to see more mixed race Bills is what I'm saying, but I would like to see more mixed music Bills.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. That show was like, it was, you know, I think very, very different. And a lot of the shows that I was on after the fact were so diverse, you know, like the Summer Jam show, KTX did it. I don't know if you ever heard of The Breaks.
No. Oh, yeah. Yes,
Confusion and Fresh.
Yeah.
They were the so instrumental in kind of getting me a lot of the opportunity that I was given, because they were the ones that started playing me my very first song, sent it to them, and they were the ones that kind of showed me that love, and just by playing it and getting me in that artist community. And they put me on their Summer Jam show back in August, and that was an incredible bill, full of great Black artists, Imo Soul, Sam Houston, Litty Earth, which is like a rap. It was rap, R&B, kind of a celebration night. And I think that the Free Week show with Tamika and all of those was a great show. But I think after that show, that diversity came in the bill. You know what I mean? And just like, and I don't, and I was really, really grateful for that, you know, just to know that that was there and that community was there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It is there, you know, and there's advocates of people. I think the Breaks is like a really great avenue and a really great platform that gives Black and R&B hip hop artists that platform.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of others. There's a lot of others.
Are you a fan of rap?
I love rap.
Yeah.
I love hip hop. Yeah.
What about you, like rock?
I don't know enough rock to say I love it. Yeah. You know, I just got into Nirvana. I'm a big Nirvana fan as of like last year.
Yeah.
But I think they're more pop rock. but I just got into Nevermind.
I bought
it on vinyl. But like I don't think I'm like, you know, fully well versed in it. I grew up on like Paramore, which is not like really like super rock.
Yeah.
A little bit of Green Day.
Is Paramore like, the Wake Me Up Inside? It's like a lady singing and then a guy like very angrily saying things.
Yes, maybe.
No, that's Evanescence. Sorry.
Yes. Yeah. That's their Misery Business.
Yeah, I don't know.
They're great.
I get lost in some stuff sometimes.
Yeah. But I think that's too why I do love I think that's why my music is the way it is, because I do love and I'm inspired by a lot. I love country as well. I love Chris Stapleton. I love Kacey Musgraves. I love, I don't know, others, Carrie Underwood. There's a few more, but those are, I love it. I'm inspired by it all.
Did you ever want to, you're young enough to be on, do you have any interest in singing shows?
I actually did one.
You did?
I auditioned for one.
What?
Back. I auditioned for The Voice.
Okay.
Maybe like 3 or 4 years ago. And it was like, when I did it, I'd vow to never do it again. Because the process is so, it's so just like crazy. Like you stand in line and then you, for like however long, and then you like go into this room with like 10 other people, and then you have to sing for this one person, and then they'll tell you like if you're ready to go to the next thing, and it's just, it's too much.
And then what happens? No. Walk us through, because there's I've had quite a few people that have been like Nakia, Susanna Schoffel, guy Pat Byrne won the Voice in Ireland or whatever.
I didn't get past the 10-person room, but you have to go. I think after that, it's another room with the producers,
right?
And then you hit the real judges. It's too much, you know. And then I always think about like those shows. Like I think initially American Idol was a very instrumental one in like really creating, like, you know,
they did, yeah,
stars. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But now it's just I feel like it's lost on that nowadays.
I don't feel like anybody, there's no like Kelly Clarkson, Carrie Underwood, Jennifer Hudson that came from The Voice.
No.
Or even American Idol after those guys.
Yeah, ladies. there's not many. And Jennifer Hudson didn't even win, which is crazy. She came in third that on her year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So what song did you sing when you went in there?
I sung Rolling in the Deep.
That's good.
Rolling in the Deep by Adele. It was chill. It was the very first song that I like was like, I love this song, so I'll just sing it.
And then that was the one guy you had to sing for?
Yeah, it was me.
How weird is that when you have to stand in front of some dude and just sing?
It was nine other people too. And they can only choose like maybe like two or three out of the 10. And I'm like, this is exhausting. Like, and I had waited in line for like 2 hours to even like do this. I was like, I don't know. I was just like, after that moment, I was like, I'm going to do it my way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. And yeah.
See how it works my way.
Yeah.
And it's been good.
Good.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the stories of those shows, because I feel like a lot of people watch them and they end up really getting like, to me, it becomes more about a personal connection.
Yeah.
Than it does about the actual singing.
Mm-hmm. I get you. And I feel like the judges too. I feel like it's more about the judges.
Exactly. Yeah.
you know.
Well, there's always like, there's a guy whose mom is dying of cancer or died of cancer, mm-hmm. and this is his last chance to say something. Like, you know, right. even if the dude can't sing, we want to see him win. You know what I mean? Poor guy's mom and everything.
Right. She has cancer. He has to win.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know, man.
What about, have you written with other people at all outside of Marshall?
Yeah, definitely. Now those, like I said, those songs were, a little, they're just, you know, I was 21 moving to Austin and, you know, he was kind of the first one to reach out.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be great, but now the song on my project called Love Me Crazy. That was the song I did with Danny Salvador. Uh-huh. And that was the very first time that I got with anybody outside of Marshall. And that was so freeing because I was like, I can make music outside of one person.
you should, man.
Yeah, it was so freeing. And so that kind of opened that up for me. I write a lot with Casey Loon. She's a really good writer here. That's pretty much the prominent ones. No one super heavy, you know, that I delved into like Marshall, but this is why I'm very excited about this year, because I think that like it's I'm figuring out what I want to say next, you know, and figuring out like how I want to say it and the people that I want to like help me execute it. And that's been very, very cool to think about.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Are you a journaler? Like, do you journal or write every day in some way?
I do. I've just gotten to like, I love my notebook app. I read this article. I think it was Avery, the Black Pumas, and they were saying like Eric Burden, like he always has his voice recorder. For melodies and stuff, and I just got into that, like sitting down, because like if I don't sit down and like flesh out this melody or like at least record it in my voice memo, yeah. I'm gonna forget it.
Yeah,
and I hate that, you know. So I've just gotten into the rhythm of doing that. But journaling has been good. I just got into the habit. Quarantine again, another great quarantine thing is I got into the habit of just like sitting down every morning and like writing three things I'm grateful for.
That's awesome.
Which has been like really, really cool.
Yeah.
So it's just depends on the day, depends on the vibe.
Sure.
You know? Yeah.
So your next, mm-hmm. like for the next couple of months, I don't know if we're going to get in, get out. What, mm-hmm. so far, what all, do you do any live streams?
I did one last night. Okay. I did one with, it was all good. It wasn't on IG or anything because I was just trying to figure out. I just want to be intentional about my live streams, you know?
Yeah.
And not like super like just spread on the moment ones. But I was doing this. It's called Founders Live, and it's an entrepreneurial kind of site, and they just help entrepreneurs of any kind. And they had like a virtual meeting last night on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And we were the musical business side of it.
Oh, cool.
And so we did three songs, and then they were like voting for this, for their committee and whatnot. And we did another song for that. And so that was really cool because it exposed me to an audience that I just wouldn't have on Instagram, you know?
Yeah, of course.
So it felt intentional.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. So yeah, that was my first one, and I was really nervous about it. I was like, I don't know if I can pull this off, but it was good. It was good.
Yeah.
In retrospect,
there's been so many, you know, like just starting as soon as this thing went down, like people.
Who have you been watching?
Who have I been watching?
Yeah. Have you been watching any?
That's a good question. I feel like I watched a lot in March and April.
Okay.
And then I was like, okay.
It's a lot too many.
Yeah. I did a few. I did like a little residency for a month on Thursdays. Mm-hmm. But also like I needed the bread, man. you know what I mean?
I get you.
Yeah. It definitely feels different to be singing at your phone and in your studio.
It's very different. But what I will say, I think last night before the thing, it did feel like a show because that nervousness is there.
That's good, man.
You know? And it was like, I'm still kind of nervous about this. So I guess that makes it feels like a show. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, man.
In that aspect. Yeah.
Well, Drent, man, this has been great. I know there's a lot more we can talk about, but you're always welcome to come back on the show. I really appreciate you as an artist, and talking to you has been really great. I'm very, I just think you're awesome. So yeah, weird to say. I just made it weird. So
no, it's okay, man.
Yeah, man.
I appreciate it. Like I said, I'm honored to be here, and even like to just, I think the world, like it's weird to like be affirmed as an artist by others. Cause I don't necessarily feel like that all the time. And as a musician, but it's appreciated. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So. Well, people can find you on Bandcamp. I'll put links to all the stuff in the body of this podcast. I don't know exactly when it'll come out.
Sick.
But, I hope you have a good weekend. I know we'll be talking soon.
Cool, man.
Dude, thanks so much for doing the show.
Thank you. I appreciate it. 'Cause you love me, baby.
Yeah. You love me, baby. That's Austin R&B artist Drent. Get out there and find him right now. His debut EP, Don't Save Me, is available now wherever it is you stream and download your jams. You can go and kick him a little cash if you find him on Bandcamp. Buy the EP there if you have the money. We're all under quarantine. Guys can't play shows. Yeah, follow him on all the socials. The dude's great. What a great, great story. What a great conversation. What a story of like rising above your situation and getting out of it and becoming yourself. So congratulations to Drent. What an inspiring conversation. An inspiring guy. Gang, when you're out there checking out Drent online, don't forget that you can subscribe to this podcast wherever it is that you find podcasts. New shows all the time. We're not going by the Tuesdays and Thursdays right now. We're just dropping shows like maniacs. All right? Thank you so much for listening to the show. I want to thank Drent for taking the time to talk to me. And looking forward to hearing more music from him in the future. Fantastic artist, Drent. Get out there and check him out. Let's get down. You love me crazy, out of this world. You love me crazy, you're out of this world, boy. You love me crazy, out of this world. You love me crazy. I know I can drive you crazy.